Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Ringside Wrap, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. This is where Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi bring you the latest news and information on pro wrestling and MMA, as well as interviews with legends of yesterday and stars of today. And now, the GWH Radio Network presents Ringside Wrap with your hosts, Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, and Mike Sempervivi.
All right, welcome to another edition of Ringside Wrap. I would love nothing more than to say the boys are back in town, but this time we got Les Thatcher and no Mike Sempervivi. Les, it's been a while. How are you doing tonight, sir?
I'm doing okay. It'll distress some people, but I'm going to live.
That's good.
Where's Michael? It's good to have you back.
Well,
thank you.
He's actually, unfortunately, he's had some work stuff he's had to deal with, and it looks like he may not be with us now for a few weeks. But
wow. But
never fear, never fear,
never fear.
There's always another.
You know, it's been a while, but I want to say that I'm excited. I feel good.
Hold on one second. There's always another Mike if Sempervivi's not here, and that is none other than Mike Mooneyham. Mike, welcome back.
Thank you. Hey, Les.
Hey, Charleston Mike. How you doing?
I hope it's not too much of a disappointment. I feel like I'm the Tinker Todd of wrestling now. Tinker was a fine worker.
Here we go, huh? I'll just sit back. You guys can insult one another and entertain.
All right. Before Les tells us what he's excited about, let me get to some stuff here at the top. Our guest tonight, of course, we're going to have Gabe Sapolsky join us here in just a few minutes. Going to talk with him a little bit about Evolve Wrestling and Dragon Gate USA, things that are going on there, and also Road Warrior Animal, plugging his book and talking a little bit about his career. So we're going to have him around the bottom, well, not the bottom half of the hour, probably about 8:45 or so if you're listening in the Eastern time zone. We're also going to give away a couple more tickets this week to Memphis Heat. Trivia question for this week will be asked around 8:30 as soon as we come back from the break after speaking with Gabe. And you want to be ready to post that answer at the Ringside Wrap Facebook group page. Just making sure everybody's been going to several different places and posting answers. It's getting a little chaotic with that. So we're going to minimize that and limit it to the first correct answer in the Ringside Wrap group page on Facebook tonight. So around 8:30, you want to be ready to see if you can get that answer right and post it there right under where I post the question around that time. And the first correct answer will, of course, win two tickets to Memphis Heat in Atlanta next month. I've already given away four. We got six left to go tonight. So if you don't get in there tonight, you still got 2 weeks left. Les, what are you excited about?
I thought you said it all. I don't know. I'm teasing. I'm just, you know, it's been a couple of weeks since we've been on, but going back to the first CM Punk end of the show promo, it's about wrestling, guys, and it's amazingly enough, it's what I've been beating my head against the wall and preaching for I don't know how long. It's just common sense stuff, and you know what? Misdirection has been drawing money in this business for the half century I've been in it, and it appears it creates interest again. I'm seeing the best stuff that... You know what was my favorite match on Monday Night Raw was the Miz, the opening match in the tournament. They worked a leg. They told a story. The announcers got behind it, and you know Miz is trying to keep his leg away, and Alex is trying to get to it. And it's just good solid stuff. But I mean, the Punk thing is they turned Cena into a worker on the pay per view finally.
Yeah.
I totally agree with everything that Chavo Guerrero said in his blogs, and I don't do blogs, and I don't give a damn what Twitter's trending or anything else. But I'm seeing some good wrestling, and I think it's pretty exciting for a change.
Yeah, my only disappointment Monday night was just the fact that they moved so quickly away from Punk taking the title. So let's have a tournament.
Why shouldn't they, Rich? Because if they keep beating it over the head, then you're going to know it's an angle. And I don't, you know, I mean, the whole
idea.
It just
seems like it, I don't know. It just seems like it. You know, maybe it, another
you,
week.
You know
or
what
something.
I? You know the thing that caught my eye. That's wrong. The things that I was taught years ago in this business about details. Why, if Cena was fired, and they made this comment that on Twitter he had said, "I know I'm fired." Okay, so
yeah.
Going in, if you heard that, if you heard Michael Cole and Lawler talking, then you knew he was fired. He knew he was fired. So in that respect, now I'm talking about details. When Vince wanted him to come out, why did he have music and more? Better yet, why did he have on knee pads and dress to wrestle if he doesn't work there?
Well,
does
yeah.
he not own a pair of long
Good
pants?
Point.
Yeah.
But to me that's not a deal breaker, but it's a minute thing. But I said subconsciously to everybody that watched, it's not.
The devil's in the detail, Les, and I think that you know that the. People writing this stuff should be aware of little things like that. That you know, if you're going to suspend disbelief for any amount of time, you want to be really careful about that stuff. You know, I'm keeping track of this. I'm keeping score, and little things. Yeah, you know, little things mean a lot.
Yeah, I think, and you know, I've listened to a couple different evaluations of this thing on different sites. And one of the guys was saying that he was getting emails that people were mad because Punk, the best thing in the world was Punk wasn't on the show. I said weeks ago to a couple different people, I said, you know what? Obviously, they've got an agreement. They've got something on paper. Vince doesn't do this if he doesn't have something on paper. So
right.
you want to make the cheese binding? Is that the old saying? Let him work Ring of Honor a show. Let him work Ring of Honor a show. What can it hurt?
Yeah, absolutely.
And Ring of Honor, I'm sure, would be happy to get the extra little nudge and publicity thing. Let him work
speaking
a match there if he wants.
Speaking of somebody
hey, absence makes go ahead, Rich.
No, I was just going to say, speaking of let him go work Ring of Honor, what'd you think about John Cena throwing out the brother?
Yeah. Well, good. You know, that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's like your Uncle Jim's a drunk and he staggers, but nobody pays it. They just act like he's really not. You know, why pretend there's not something else going on in the world? That's the one thing I will always dislike about that company is they reinvent history, and there's so much rich, interesting, entertaining history out there that it's a shame for it to be lost like that. But, yeah, I you know, why not? You know, and it's real. See, and it adds something real. You know, it's just like we watch a great drama TV series or a great dramatic movie that may get an Academy Award, nod or something. Why is it good? Because you buy into it to a certain degree. Yes, it's a work. We all know that. But, you know, still at the bottom line, the reason you're willing to pay $10 or whatever the hell the going price is at a theater is because of that, because you get drawn in. Harry Potter opened at a midnight showing at the multiplex here in our area, and a friend of mine who trains at the gym was telling me all 16 screens were set up for Harry Potter, and he said if they could turn people away, then they do a 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Now, why? We know that's a work, but it's because you want to get caught up in the fantasy. You want to forget about the crap going on outside. Would you agree, Mike?
I would agree 100%. And don't you think that should be the purpose of wrestling, is for people to invest emotion and allowing CM Punk to go out there and reflect a little of his own personality, talk straight to the fans instead of having some scriptwriter backstage reading a comic book, writing, arbitrary lines for this guy that may not be him at all. Don't you think that just makes people more interested in the product?
Sure.
Those like Bob McDaniel.
Yeah, those who think they're smart to the business, or who are smart to the business, whatever the case may be, you know, that are obviously not in the business. By touching on realism, stuff that they actually know to be a fact, you've drawn them in a little bit, right? What do they believe? That's not even the point. The point is they're caught up in it. Or why? I mean, I thought it was amazing that Jim Rome offered Punk time on his show. And Rome is one of the most anti-professional wrestling human beings on the face of God's earth.
Absolutely. Yeah, look at the mainstream.
Oh, yeah, well, you know, there was even a CNBC guy the other day on Twitter talking about whether or not the storyline with McMahon was going to affect stock.
Yes, and you know, the thing you're talking about, Cena and Brother, that Cena grew up in that promo. He didn't grow up against Rock. Most of his crap is, and when I say this, I like John. I'm not talking about John Cena, the person. I'm talking about John Cena, the character on Raw. Most of his crap is hokey, and I mean, it's half the reason he gets booed, I think.
Yeah,
but
sure
he grew up on Monday night. He grew up on Monday night. That's I'll tell you who gets the acting award for that if you want to look at it that way. Triple H.
Boy, wasn't he good in that role?
Yeah, when he came out, it's like subtly he told you with his body language, I want to be any place but here.
Yeah,
you know,
that was pretty
even
awesome.
Though you didn't know what was coming, he still made you, you know, like something's off kilter.
Something is amiss.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. What is it? And the way he approached Vince, it wasn't his cocky self, right? And that, you know, and again, it comes back to the details, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Well, and then even playing off that, I thought Vince McMahon did just a superb job of just appearing to be, you know, just totally distraught by what was going on.
Yeah, he had a little gulp, but he didn't do the big gulp. You know, it was a small gulp. It wasn't pronounced. He choked me up. I mean, you know, he had me sucked in.
And you know, I think the thing, you know, some of the fans told Chavo he should retract what he wrote initially, and I said, absolutely not. He said no.
No.
But he's right. If you're put in the position John's in, then you bring it every night. You know, you don't phone it in. And that's, you know, like Michaels or don't like Michaels or don't like anybody that they, you know, that does that. But you can never say The Undertaker laid down or Michael, you know.
Nope.
Even when Michaels was the biggest SOB in the business by a lot of people's, you know, opinion.
He showed up for the big events, didn't he, last
He time? Did, absolutely. And he, you know, and he did his part and then some.
Yep.
And that's, you know. So, I mean, and Chavo, you know, he's raised that way, too, realize, too.
Oh, yeah.
How those kids were raised in the business. And, everything he said was true, you know, absolutely. And he wasn't dissing him. He was just stating a fact. And, you know, and that's one of the things that's made this, again, going back to details, going all the way back to where they shut the mic off on Punk at the end of Raw three weeks ago or whatever it was. You know. You're biting into things that are actuality in the fact, and so it even though it's a story, right? I mean, if you read a good mystery novel or you know if it actually ties in something that is factual, it makes it a little more interesting. It deepens your involvement. And the sad thing is most of these kids don't even understand what we're talking about. They're getting paid to work on that show.
You're right, Les.
I mean,
right.
They don't. They do not.
I think what's most awesome about this is it's got everybody not only talking, but it's got people excited again. And it's been a while since people have been excited. I mean, you think back just a year ago, you know, we were sitting here bemoaning the fact that every Monday we were being forced to watch not only, you know, the anonymous GM, but we were watching the B-list guest hosts. And all the cheese that went with that, and you know, just wondering what the hell happened to Monday nights. And here again now, just you know, Sunday night, I tweeted. I think this is the first time I've ever said this. I'm excited, or I can't wait to see Raw on Monday night. And all day long, it was like, man, I can't wait. You know, till 9 o'clock.
Do you think this will be an impetus?
But here's the thing: how long will it fly?
Exactly.
You know, and I can only hope for the best, honestly. I mean, you know, if they see, you know, and then somebody said, well, the rating is up, but it wasn't that good. What was it, 3.32 or something? But, you know, I have no factual documented proof to match my opinion or assumption on this, but I firmly believe that ratings and interest in drawing for pay-per-views or house shows don't necessarily walk in the same road. They're not necessarily, one doesn't have anything to do with the other a lot of times, I don't think.
Yeah, I agree. I just hope this provides some impetus for, you know, real change, maybe change in philosophy, change in direction, and it's not just, a one-hit wonder, that they really do follow up on this. And
yeah.
And, you know, they can do more of it. I mean, you know, granted, Punk's a unique performer. Not everybody can pull off what he did. But you got to think there's some guys that, you know, he's been talking about and giving examples of, like Cole Cabana, that could come out and really, you know, make a difference, make people
yeah.
interested again.
Well, and you know what I noticed, too, in Boston a week ago, this past Monday, I sat there and I thought, my God, this is just a modern, an upgraded version of McMahon in Austin. You know,
exactly. That's what it is.
Yeah, and it's it's somebody being mad at their boss, and
yeah.
people can relate to that. But I watch
everybody.
I watch the crowd. I watch what's going on in the ring or in the promo. But I watch the crowd because there's the telling factor, right?
Yeah,
and they
right.
had little kids in Cena T-shirts cheering
yeah.
Punk.
Yeah,
you could have switched Cena right there in his hometown. He didn't get the reception there that Punk got.
Nope.
You know,
no.
and if they're smart, they'll leave Cena off TV now. I hope their company's in liquid enough shape that they can actually afford not to sell 100 T-shirts over the next couple of weeks.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
or dolls or whatever the hell
yeah.
it is
yeah.
to get this angle over. You know, or
I
figure Triple H is going to reinstate him at some point anyway.
Well, I think it allows. It's sort of an easy way to bring him back now. Vince is out of the picture.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
supposedly. So Hunter, even though Punk called him a doofus, you know. I mean, you know, even a program with a 40-year-old makes a little more sense than having a program with a 64-year-old guy.
Right, right, so. Yes. Well, and you know what? If it's done properly, I can see Triple H comes out of retirement. I'm not against Punk, you know, but somewhere down
yeah.
the road.
Right.
Not every 2 months or something. Don't overdo
no.
it. But, yeah,
no.
every once in a great while, I can see that.
Who said less is more?
Yeah, let's go ahead and take a break here and go get Gabe, and then we'll pick back up on this conversation and probably in a couple more topics at the bottom half of the hour. We'll be back. We're going to go grab some WWE ice cream bars and get Gabe Sapolsky on the phone.
Hi, this is Ozzy Osbourne. For many years, you know I've had a drink problem, and I'm trying to battle that problem every single day. But one thing I don't do, I don't drive my car when I'm drinking. I get someone to drive me. Do not drink and drive. It's the stupidest thing. If you drink, just don't drive. Not only are you going to hurt yourself, you may hurt some other person, and you wouldn't want that on your conscience, would you?
A public service announcement brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
The odds of becoming a signed artist and having 3 number one albums? 1 in 100 million. The odds of going on to win 6 Grammy Awards? 1 in 1.4 million. The odds of this performer having a child diagnosed with autism? 1 in 110. I'm Toni Braxton, and I encourage you to learn the signs of autism at autismspeaks.org. Autism Speaks. It's time to listen. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
You're listening to the GWH Radio Network. Brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. Your show will return momentarily. Did you know that there's more to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com than just Georgia Wrestling History? It's true. Not only can you find documented cards, results, and more on pro wrestling in Georgia dating back to the 19th century, but you can also find out where live and local wrestling may be near you today. And not just in Georgia. We also cover the southeastern regional scene in Alabama, Florida, Tennessee, and the Carolinas. You want more? Well, we also cover the major worldwide wrestling and MMA promotions as well, including WWE, UFC, TNA, Strikeforce, Ring of Honor, and more. And so do our radio shows. You can find all of this, and maybe a bit more, by logging on to GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com, where we are capturing the legends of yesterday and covering the stars of today. GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com.
Ranger Station, Ranger speaking.
Yeah, hi. I'd like to report a
bear sighting?
Location.
In the forest, near the side of the road.
No need for alarm, sir. The forest is where bears live.
But this was no ordinary bear.
No ordinary bear?
At one second, I'm having a smoke taken in the view. Next thing I know, I am face to face with Smokey Bear.
Let me guess, Smokey had a tip for you.
He did. He must have seen me toss my cigarette on the ground. He told me never to do that because it only takes one spark to start a wildfire.
He's a smart bear. Did you know that 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans? That means 9 out of 10 wildfires can be prevented.
That's what Smokey said. I had no idea.
That's why Smokey's famous, and you're not.
Good point.
Get your Smokey on. If you see someone in danger of starting a wildfire, step in and make a difference, because 9 out of 10 wildfires are caused by humans. Brought to you by Smokey Bear, the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council. Learn more at SmokeyBear.com.
Only you can prevent wildfires.
Back on Ringside Wrap, Rich Tate, Les Thatcher, Mike Mooneyham, not Semper Vivi, but Mike Mooneyham coming to you. Well, guys, tried to get Gabe, got his voicemail, so hopefully he'll call back in here to us here in this segment, and then we'll pick up with him. But just picking up where we left off, talking about obviously the big storyline with WWE, Les, where would you take it from here? Where would you go?
Well, it's obviously got to, Punk and Cena both come back in the fold. But, I mean, there's a million different ways. But like I say, you've got him on paper. Legally, he's working for you, or otherwise he wouldn't have walked out with that belt. That I feel I can go to the bank with. So let him work Ring of Honor. I don't see any problem with that. Because where did he come from, right? Why not go back to his roots? Just for a memorial match, just a special match or something. Not like he's going back, full time or anything. But that's cool. I don't have.
And now,
I think this, if you're not going to do something like that, him popping up on Twitter in a baseball, and then in a museum or at a bar carrying that belt around, I think then we know it's a work. So I think he should, keep it out there, but find a level that makes sense. Don't over saturate it like they do so many times with angles. But it comes back to those two guys wrestle one another again. Or maybe Punk comes back as a stronger babyface than Cena, and they end up – now, if you had a strong tag team division, what a hell of a babyface team you'd have there.
Mm-hmm. If you had a strong tag team division, that's the key.
Yes, if you actually had a strong tag team.
There you go.
I don't even know when I think of that company right now, I don't think of tag teams.
I don't either. And why should we? How many teams are actually in that company now? Two or three teams that we actually see from time to time?
Well, I guess you consider Nexus and the In Crowd or whatever the hell the other faction is, a team of some sort. But, I think the biggest crowning mistake for that company, too, is like when they're trying to push Truth now, Ron Killings, or they try to get, the Nexus kids are dead. Young faction kids, because they're just, chopping meat for somebody.
Sure they are.
For the most part. I don't care if they got a belt or they don't have a belt. But, the biggest problem is back in the territories, if you brought somebody in with any idea of pushing them, you took care of them underneath. It didn't make them look like fools.
Absolutely.
And, Killings has been just mishandled. I mean, when I say mishandled, if you had no plans for him, then he wasn't mishandled. But if you had these kind of plans for him, you mishandled him.
Les, I thought Killings has come, he's come along, he came along really good as a heel. Were you kind of surprised that, I feel like they almost killed him off with, how he got beat at the paper.
You know what I didn't like, Mike, either was the Confederate uniform or the Union hat in Richmond.
Yeah, that was a little
hokey. I'm thinking, how can I take him seriously as a badass if you're going to make
exactly.
him a clown? You can't be Barney Fife and Dirty Harry at the same time.
To me, that stunk of high heaven back to the, you know, creative team. I mean, it just
yeah.
it had its footprints, its handprints
yeah.
all over that angle. I don't think that's
well,
something
you know,
wrong.
Vince, whoever over you know in what in the last 20 years, I guess, or whatever with that guy, it's like we always got to leave the people like winking at them, right, or laughing.
Yeah.
I don't see the value in that.
I don't either.
I don't see the value in that. And maybe they're finding out there's no value in it now too. You know.
You know.
Go ahead.
I would certainly hope so. You know, I hope that they see the buzz that punk has created and, you know, let some of the other guys do their thing. Cause I think it would be a lot better than what we're seeing coming from, you know, their creative team.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you know, here's the thing too. I think they're going the right direction. They just don't have a lot of depth with guys that know how to do what they're trying to do.
I know.
I mean, that match on the pay-per-view, my, you know, and I say this just from a business standpoint. It's not because I'm dissing anybody or because I dislike somebody, but Punk picked Cena up. I mean, Cena stepped up, but Punk, I'm pretty sure, called that match.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just somebody's got to be able to do that. Most of these kids can't do that. You know,
no, they haven't been around long enough.
I've been a Kofi fan since I met the kid. He was 6 months into his training when he worked one of our camps. But I'm so tired of seeing him and Ziggler, you know, because and they cannot be consistent with having good matches, and a lot of it's rushed and sloppy sometimes, and it's just you know, again, that doesn't mean they're not good athletes, doesn't mean they're not good kids, it just means they're not ready to pick the ball up and run with it.
Nope.
You know,
it's obvious.
And if you really look at that title tournament. In terms of guys that you really look at to think that they can kick somebody's ass, there weren't a lot of them in there.
No, there was a 5'2" guy in the main event.
Yeah,
there was a guy who, you know, from reality TV is his opponent, and they're vying for the biggest belt in the business. So
right.
I wasn't too excited.
No, and you know the guy, the Mexican guy that won the Money in the Bank. Everybody, I mean, so many people are high on him, and I see him as a good worker, but I don't see him. I'm not excited.
Yeah, I'm with you, Les. I mean, you know, he's got a good ring intro. He's got a good appearance. The car is pretty nice, but daggum, I don't know if I'd pay to watch him in a headline of pay per view.
Right, yeah. Well, you know, and that's the thing. And I know some people thought I was being offensive when I've said this all along. Again, I like Kofi as a person.
Sure.
He got it early on. I mean, I'm a big fan. But if I were a booker or he were working for my promotion, he would never be my heavyweight my champion. My singer.
No.
He's a good young. Hot baby face in a good tag team with somebody that's a veteran's more solid
yeah.
ground based guy, and he fills and he's a good mid card baby face, but nobody
wasn't.
Go ahead.
What in the old territory days wouldn't they have paired him with just what you said, an older established veteran who you know could maybe make a hot tag too and
sure.
you know come in that kind of role.
Exactly, Weaver to Becker. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Something like that, or you know, yes. Yeah. There. But yeah, it's he's the kid that gets the heat to give the veteran the tag.
That's right.
Or he comes in and does the high spots, and the veteran sets him up.
Either way.
But
yeah.
But you know, that's it. He's entertaining.
Yeah.
He is a performer, but he's not an artist. An artist is Michaels or Taker or Flair or Steamboat or, you know,
yeah.
Daniel Bryan, excuse me. I was happy to see him getting that Money in the Bank thing. And I think the fact that I think on SmackDown he says, I'm going to wait till WrestleMania to turn in my bid. But you know what? There's no sin in that either. They're setting up a foundation for WrestleMania. Why are they doing that? Well, they don't have Taker versus Helmsley. They don't have Taker versus Michaels. And there's nobody that can step up and have that kind of match. So they're trying to get some
I think that was buying their time, trying to figure out what to do maybe with him, as well as what to lead toward to WrestleMania
but,
with.
But they're, you know, but I know, well, you know, they plugged WrestleMania on the show Monday night. Now, my guess is why? Because there were people tuning back, and they knew they were going to have people tuning back in that weren't normally there. For one reason, and yep. I think you'll find the buy rate is up on this thing. Now, talking to Dave Shear at PW Insider, you know, on their lead site, which is a monthly rate, he had a fair percentage of people come back who had, you know, let their memberships lapse with mm-hmm. just the comment when they signed back up for just, you know, it's a month-by-month thing yep. because they had renewed their interest.
Yeah, saying, absolutely.
I haven't bought a pay-per-view in so long, but I want to see this one.
Oh, people are talking about it. You know, I've gotten more calls, more emails. Interest has been peaked, and that's a good thing for the business. Now, can they keep it up? Can they
yeah.
deliver?
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Hey guys,
that's the thing, too. You don't have the depth. Christian is a good performer. Randy is damn good. He's got a good look.
Yeah.
But he's not consistent.
No.
Hey guys, let me break in here real quick and put this out there since we had plugged it. That at 8:30 we'd put this out there. The Memphis Heat tickets in Atlanta for the premiere in August. The trivia question for this week: the first person to answer this correctly wins this week set of two tickets. Who is the only NWA World Heavyweight Champion to have started his career in Memphis? Be the first person to get that and post it at the Facebook group for Ringside Rap, where we just posted the question just a couple seconds ago, and you will win this week's tickets. So I'll be monitoring that throughout the show, and hopefully somebody
can. Mike and I win this, Gene Okerlund?
No.
Do we call your 900 number?
Hey, I wish I had a 900.
Hey, what?
All right.
What?
A dollar a minute. I'm all for it.
But we're going to wait.
So anyway, let me bring up something that I noticed on Raw that really just kind of occurred to me. I noticed it, but didn't really think about it until just now. But the anonymous general manager was nowhere to be seen Monday night.
That's right.
Yeah.
He wasn't.
I wonder if that's dead
thing.
Now.
God, I you know what? It's been
I'll,
dead.
I like to hope it is.
They
I'll
just
like to
need
hope
to bury it.
Oh, absolutely. But you know, doesn't it make sense to maybe if you're going to kill it and you've done it this long, go ahead and come up with who the hell it was supposed to be and do it?
You just called my attention to it. So that's how important it's actually been, right?
Yeah.
I would normally say, you know, you finish storylines off, but with this one, I just say leave it lay.
Yeah, it was a pretty bad one. Does any of you guys have a problem with Michael Cole and Jerry Lawler sort of coexisting now, you know, back
yes.
to normal?
You mean like you're going
it's
steady again? Yeah.
Like nothing happened almost. I mean, you know, they built up all of this incredible heat. Cole insulted, you know, really some pretty bad insults toward his family, his late mother, and now we're supposed to believe that these guys can just coexist at the announce desk and, you know, beside the occasional insult to one another. I mean, it's like everything's copacetic, you know, it's back to normal. I don't get that. I think that's a lack of following, you know, details.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Yeah, and when that whole thing was going on, building up to that, the 10 matches, or it seemed like 10, it really was.
Yeah.
Anyway, one would have been more than enough. But when they were building up to that, I said, where do you go from this? Does Cole become a heel manager? Does he go to SmackDown?
Yeah, what happens?
Yeah, no, we just forget like it ever happened. Oh, that's really
so. Like the next time this happens, we're supposed to forget this and start over. I mean, you know, you can't insult the intelligence of a fan that often.
Well, you know, that's the thing with the Cena thing too, because of that they fired him. What was it, a year ago? And They couldn't have him off TV. They couldn't have him off TV a week, for Christ's sake.
A week.
He had to come back.
And do you remember the big tribute they gave him? Like, you know, it was like, you know, we were never going to see the guy again. And it was almost like a Flair send-off, you know.
Right.
Interviewing people and all of the sentimentality behind it. And he's back in a week, you know. So you can't
if they don't leave him out for a while. Then, but, you know, I think the only legitimate way to come back now is with Hunter at the helm. You know, then he reinstates him makes some other changes to kind of mask the fact that this is all he's going to do.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, that's it.
So I don't know. I'm interested. I was looking forward to seeing Raw Monday night, see where they were going with this. Mm-hmm. And normally I just say, well, I've got to watch it because I do these talks.
Me too. Yeah, I know what you mean.
Yeah, but I mean, it's just, and again, I don't, you know, I think they need to redefine their characters. God, I hate Jimmy Cornette would hate me for using the word because he said, you're not a character, you're, you know, and he's right. It's a stupid characterization, you know, and I think we're talking about, I'm using terms of actors and drama and dramatics and, you know, and for years we've been called actors and now it's proved that we're pretty bad ones, actually. Our business, we're not even good actors. It's just, you know, I think everything that you've got people's attention now, and you know, the other thing too, I think, guys, and I've said this all along, why does everything have to be designated PG or R? You know?
Yeah.
I said we made, I think, billions of dollars over the years with all the territories by playing to families, for Christ, you know, where you could bring...
That's right.
You know, and right now, well, you know, Punk says this guy didn't have any balls and this guy kisses ass, you know. You know, if you really stop and think about it, an 8 or 9 year old kid's probably heard that anyway. I mean,
sure.
They're more sophisticated now than they were when any of us, any of the three of
us, were
at that age, you know. So, you know, if you turn on primetime television right now, you'll hear I'm pissed off or.
Oh, sure.
They, you know, they use son of a bitch is a pretty common phrase.
Yeah, and, you know, the violence. How about, you know, when I was 10 years old, I didn't mind seeing Boris Malenko smash George Scott into a bloody pulp with a chain.
Right.
You know, that was a little violent for a kid.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's, you know, they're gonna see that in some damn video game they play, right?
Sure they are. You know it.
I remember it, talk about being antiquated. I remember at my, you know, back when I had my place, come into the back room and the guys are talking about picking up this hooker and paying her and beating her up for their money after they'd had sex. I said, what the hell are you guys talking about? You know, and I thought, are you out of your mind? And they said, oh, no, that's a video game. Oh, cool.
Right.
You know, I thought, well, can I buy my grandchildren some? I mean, really?
Jeez.
But, I mean, that's what they're susceptible, you know, that's what they're exposed to, so.
I know.
You know, so what the hell is a little, and you don't have, it doesn't have to be ECW violence, for Christ's sake.
No.
No.
Hey, but, you know, we've talked about this before. Hey, if I see a cage, why even put the cage up if you're not going to use a little blood?
Yeah.
What purpose does the cage have, or a death match, or a, you know, last man standing match, or whatever?
Sure.
What significance does it have if, you know, I'm supposed to believe that, you know, a guy is being pounded into a cage 30 or 40 times, yet not a drop of blood?
Right. I'll tell you,
you know, don't even put the cage up.
Yeah, I'll tell you a little thing, Mike, that drives me nuts, and I like CM Punk. I mean, he worked for me. He and Colt and Ace Steel worked here for us back before they were, you know, they were Second City Saints at the time. But anyway, one of the things that I would do if Punk worked for me, take the damn tape off your hands.
Yeah.
Why are you allowed to tape your fist and hit people with it?
Right. That's a good point, Les.
We used to have tape fist matches. That used to be something, a step up, right?
Yep.
And And if you do, why doesn't everybody else?
That's exactly right. It's a great point.
And I would. I did that when I first started, working with a school here before I opened my own place and handling mm-hmm. their backstage stuff. And this kid, I said, your hands hurt? Oh, no. I swear to take the tape off.
Take it off.
I said, because I said so. I said, uh-huh. because I may want to have a tape fist match.
Right.
And then it would mean something.
Say, buddy, if you don't have a blade in there, take that tape off.
But, yeah, it's little thing. Again, it's about details.
Yes, it is.
Why is there an Academy Award for costuming and stuff in these, a lot of these epic movies,
mm-hmm.
Because
mm-hmm.
it's detail.
They take you
where they want you to go.
Yeah.
And you can only, how can I believe in what you do? Well, you got to make me believe it.
Give me a reason.
Yeah, and it's just like...
Because if you don't, I'll turn the channel.
Yeah, Harry Potter is so far from an adult drama, but yet if you're filling 16 screens in one theater and figuring on a turnaway crowd, and these obviously are not 8-year-old kids we're talking about at midnight
mm-hmm.
on Thursday night.
No.
So it
can be done.
Yeah, if you want me to buy the product, you got to sell it to me.
Yeah. That's a problem with the business right now. They're not giving people a reason to buy the product.
Right. Yeah. And this whole punk thing has kicked that off, and they did some other things that, and that's, I said this when we started the show, misdirect has drawn money in this business for a half century I've been around.
Oh, yes. Hadn't it ever?
Yeah.
A heel turn at just the right time.
Yeah. But Leo Garibaldi, you say, you give people what they want, just never when they want it.
Leo was one of the great bookers of all time.
He certainly was. He certainly was. And if anybody should be going into a Hall of Fame and anything to do with Atlanta, should be Leo Garibaldi.
Yeah, just ask Mr. Wrestling Number 2. He gave him the gimmick.
Yeah. Well, it's the way he programmed people. You realize how long the Andersons and the Torres brothers drew money in that territory. Realizing you worked in the same major towns every week. Not once a month, not once every 6 months.
Every week.
Once a damn week.
Yes, sir.
So you had to be creative. And that's the other thing, too. That's what's missing with the performers.
Yeah.
These kids, it's not that they're not great athletes. It's not they're not in good condition. It's not that they don't take crazy bumps and they do it well and they do stuff that I would never try if I were 20 years old, no matter what. But the point is they don't draw you in. They don't know how to emotionally involve you.
Yes, absolutely. And that's the true, that's the true test of success in the wrestling business is drawing the fan in.
When Mark Henry took out Big Show, you believed that.
Yeah, you did.
Sure you did. Absolutely.
Yeah, you did.
And let's say, and Mark is a teddy bear. I love Mark to death. But
yeah, he's a good guy.
This character, you don't want to meet this guy when he's had a bad night. Right? I mean, you really don't.
No way. No way.
And he stepped up. And I've always thought if you handle Mark right, you do business with Mark.
I always thought that too, Les.
But see, that's the thing.
Nice guy.
These guys, these writers may be creative in some capacity somewhere else. But if they don't, it's like we're talking about Kofi. Mike, you know how many people look at me and say, oh, well, you don't think Kofi's a good worker? I said, I didn't say that.
Yeah, I know.
But because you're a good worker doesn't mean you should be world champion.
No, there's a big, big difference. How many, like I mentioned the guy earlier, I'd always thought Tinker Todd was a good worker, but I didn't necessarily see him as a world champion.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
Now you can make the comparison, Mike, because you've witnessed enough of it at both levels. But you look at, pick a Crockett roster from, let's say, I don't care, 1968 or 1974.
Okay.
You pick a year. And tell me how deep it was in talented workers.
Oh, Lord. I mean, up and down the card. It was almost interchangeable.
Now stop having an orgasm there, Mike, and now look at the current Raw roster and tell me how deep it is in the same kind of talent that any of those guys could step up and elevate somebody else and give you the match you need out there.
I can't give that. I can't tell you that. No, I just
it's not. It's, I mean, it's day and night.
But in
fairness, I mean, back in those days that you guys are talking about, I mean, those guys were working, you know, God, every night and twice on Saturday and Sunday. These guys are what, working four matches a week, if that.
You're right, and six. You can't learn working 6 minute matches anyway.
Right.
That's, you know, here again, I'm not telling you I'm end all be all. When I started my school, when I first started putting guys out in shows, usually if you were first match, you were one of the, what I would call a veteran or one of the better guys on my roster, mm-hmm. right? And you were going to go 10, 12 minutes in your first match ever.
Yeah.
And we used to fill 2.5 hours with five matches. You won't find many independent shows even looking at doing something like that today.
No way.
But you had to learn to work. That's the whole point. You can't do that. But see, here's the deal. It's a matter. Well, there's no territories. Please don't tell me that. Vince McMahon is the richest wrestling promoter on the face of God's green earth. And if they took half the money they took to play around in politics and turn it into their developmental system, if they had a working agreement with Ring of Honor, where that was a place to bring some of the guys off of their roster and still let them stay active. And yet you've got a place to pick guys out of, which is a middle ground, which you bring the guys up from Tampa to there, and open up a couple more places so the guys can move around. You don't release guys like Val Venus, people like that. You keep them on because they can work at that level with these kids and teach them how. And that's how we learned. And it can be done. It's just doing it.
Well, you have to want to do it. You have to invest in that. I mean, at one time, we did see better talent coming out of had Louisville. You had Cincinnati. Yeah. You had Georgia. You know, you had Jody's operation down there. You did have somewhat of a pipeline. But now what do you have? That school in Florida? That's it, basically?
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now, there's no doubt in my mind that Steamer and Tommy – can do the job down there because I've worked with both of them, in that capacity. And Tommy knows talent, and Ricky knows how to teach too. I think what they're doing now with that kid Andy, the little vignette they did on Monday night, I like that. And that's something else I've been preaching for you. You know, instead of wasting your time with some stupid comedy or some midget screwing a baseball or something.
Yeah, right.
You know, let's have a segment called Down on the Farm and show what you're, you know. But the good thing about this now is the kid going to come up and be able to carry the ball? If they believe that, they're crazier than I'll ever be, and they're smoking better stuff than I am. But the truth is, you're giving him substance. He'll have a foundation. He'll have some people behind him. And if you give him time, he can get over if you've got the veterans that can season him while he's up there.
Yeah. Well, you know, like you said, you have the veterans on staff. I mean, they can teach. Let them do it.
But that's part of that is what the office dictates. One of the things that's going on, too, that wasn't going on when Cornette and I were in the system, is we ran our own televisions. We wrote our own televisions. And
that's true, too.
And from starting with, I assume it's this way down in Tampa, but starting with Jody at one point, they had to write it the way Stephanie wanted written. And I'm thinking, I don't want to be part of that. Here's the thing. It's like minor league baseball. You got to let the managers manage and the coaches coach.
Sure you do.
And teach. I don't give a damn how much you want Kofi to wave his arms and shake his legs and grab his crotch or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, if when all that silly crap is over, if he can't carry a match and work, it don't matter.
Yeah.
It don't friggin' matter. The foundation for this whole thing, call it entertainment, call it acting, call it whatever the hell you want. It's professional wrestling, and the foundation begins in learning how to work.
That's right. That's exactly right. You got to start with that.
And they don't. They won't let the teachers teach. They want to call. And that's the sad thing is, too. That's the other thing you need to listen. I have, when I was in the system, I've sat in talent meetings, and you know, they go, "Well, what do you think of this guy in Louisville?" And you know, Danny'd say, "This guy's ready," and Jimmy'd say, "This guy's ready," and I'd say, "Have you seen him work?" And I say, "Yeah, well, you know, we go down and do our TV, and he comes up and works a show with us." Well, yeah, I think he's ready. And Dr. Tom say, "Yeah, he's ready." And how about this guy? And well, he's probably, you know, he needs a little more seasoning or this or that. The other thing. So then 4, 5, 6 weeks later, they call up the guy you figure is not ready, and the guy that you know is ready is still down.
I know, yeah. They do the opposite, you know, of what you...
Yeah, and the reason for that is some writer thinks he's got a cute smile, or he likes the way he
some
shakes his
head. Some arbitrary thing, yeah.
Yeah,
or
some of it matters
that gimmick.
Absolutely not. Look at Punk. Somebody made this observation. Here's a guy with an average body. He's not tall. He's not handsome. I mean, when I say that, I'm not being demeaning, but I mean, you know, he's an average-looking guy.
Yeah, average guy.
With a lot of tattoos.
With a bunch of tattoos, right.
But he's getting over. And why is he getting over, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls? Because they're allowing him to be himself. Wow.
That's it. Bingo.
And wrestling, Vince took him out of those smoky bingo halls and those smoky arenas. And sport, you know, and now they've invented. Now they've invented how you really draw money.
Yes.
Yeah. God, I'm glad I've been here for this.
Hey guys, another topic.
This is kind of like the first walk on the moon or something, isn't it?
Yes.
Hey, another
but
topic.
But somebody will take credit for this now. Somebody will freaking take credit for this. Well, that was
all
my
right.
idea. Oh.
Yeah. All right, just to catch everybody up, didn't hear back from Gabe, not sure what happened there. We'll try to reschedule him again down the road at the appropriate time, and just want to let everybody know I jumped off the line here to touch base with Animal and tried to get him on here a little earlier. Joe will reschedule with us. He had a scheduling conflict come up, and somebody else actually kind of booked him tonight twice, so... kind of had a little snafu there. Apparently, nothing we could help here, but he did send his apologies to everybody and said that he will make good on it, and we'll probably have him probably sometime in August. And Les, he said to tell you hello specifically,
and
he will talk to you here in a few weeks on the show. And another topic I wanted to throw out there, we'll probably cut it short here tonight.
You know something I want to say here real quick, you guys, and I wanted to say at the top of the show. And Gene Okerlund went into his long spiel about tickets and all that. I want to send my condolences out to Terry Taylor and his family.
Yes, absolutely.
Absolutely.
About Trudy passing, I just feel so bad about that. I mean, I never actually met her. I talked to her on the phone several times, and I know it's a big loss for Terry, and I just want to
thoughts
and prayers out to he and his family. That's really tough, man, because it's tough enough when you're my age to pass away, I guess, but when you're young, it's, wow.
Like 48 years old, that's very young.
Yeah, it sure is. I didn't mean to put a camera on things, but I wanted to get that out.
No, oh, absolutely, yeah, I think we would have been remiss to not acknowledge that. One thing I wanted to ask you guys, because he was getting a super push, but obviously at this point it looks like maybe WWE could possibly cut the cord with him. Sin Cara, second failure, obviously, the wellness policy. What are your thoughts on that?
My thoughts are send him back where he came from. I don't see there's a lot to discuss here.
Did he really need the trampoline for those jobs after all, you know?
Well, you know, I always, there's always a trampoline nearby when I do a run-in. I don't know.
I remember Les doing that. That's when you teamed with Rudy Kay. You did the trampoline.
You used to swing on that chandelier over the ring there in Charleston.
There you go. Yeah.
and they, well, we won't talk about swinging on chandeliers. Not only the trampoline when you're doing a run-in, but the music and everything and the pyro ready to go off and, the whole ball of wax.
But you know, now we're talking about details again. There's something, you know, seriously, when I say this, I mean this sincerely. If there's a run-in on that show, I mean, the next time they do a run-in on that show, if they do not hit music, I guarantee you, you will suspend somebody's disbelief.
Absolutely.
By that simple deletion of that friggin' music, you will actually buy, some people will buy in.
You know, let me ask you about this too. Speaking of run-ins, yeah, I can remember being a kid and watching Georgia Championship Wrestling, and if poor little Tommy Rich is out there getting his butt kicked by Ole Anderson and Ivan Koloff. 30 seconds haven't passed before the locker room's cleared out and they're out there to save him. You watch WWE, and basically, you know, some guy's going to get his butt kicked for 10 minutes.
Nobody shows up.
Maybe somebody's going to come out, but only after they play the music. But, yeah. You know, to me, back in those days, and I don't know, maybe it was because I was a kid and I'm an adult now. I don't know if that's it or if it's just logic, but it seemed like it was easier to get behind a guy when you felt like, wow, this guy's loved. He's got all these friends. Look at him coming to save him, you know. You see a guy now, a babyface now, getting beat up. Nobody gives a damn. It's like
well,
where's
you know,
his buddy?
Here's the thing.
Doesn't that help you get behind the guy more?
If you establish something, you've got to be consistent with it. And the point is, there's where they're lacking, too. But there's too many. I mean, the whole run-in thing is, there is, you know, as long as it's one-on-one or if it's tag match two-on-two, why does there even have to be a friggin' run-in? That's the other thing. And I'll tell you something else. If you're going back in the day, I was always told, and I truly still believe it holds true, if the minute that's two-on-one in the ring, everybody starts looking to the back, or if you've got a partner and you're in a single match and the minute you start getting your butt handed to you, everybody starts looking to the back, then you've done it once too often already. Stop doing it. You know, now you talk about patterns, and they talk about pattern, you know, Flair being a pattern worker, you know, which he became. I mean, we'd be all lying and remiss if we said otherwise in the twilight years. But
sure.
The point I'm getting at is if you establish that, then who buy? I mean, there's nothing exciting about it. It comes back to everybody laughs at me when I say this, but you remember the first time you saw your wife naked. You damn sure don't remember the thousandth. I don't even have to.
No, I don't.
No, you don't. Because it comes, not because you don't love her any less, not because she's less beautiful to you, because it has become commonplace.
Yeah,
because it is
point.
Part of what you do. It's not fresh any longer. I mean,
amen, brother.
I mean,
hey, guys.
I don't mean to, don't tell Mrs. Tate I said that. But
it's, and don't worry, there's no fear of her listening to the show.
We love you, Rich, even if the missus doesn't. We
there you go. Les, we'll go ahead and start wrapping up. Les, what do you got to plug coming up the next week?
I got nothing to plug, brother. Right now, I know I'm going up to Philly probably in October for CZW, but I got nothing going on. One of the boys up at Cornelia is trying to get me back in up there again. I'd love
new
to
ownership. Yeah, new
huh?
ownership.
Well, that's
new
what
ownership.
I heard. Yeah, that's what I heard. Changing of the guard, as it were. No, I've got not a lot of going on. I sit and stare at my autographed picture of Mike Mooneyham every day and just...
Hey, isn't that enough, Les?
Of course
I
it is.
I update it every 5 years.
Oh, lordy, lordy, lordy. No, I've got nothing.
I'm going to change my profile photo.
I do the PW Insider Wrestler's Eye audio on Thursdays with Mike Johnson and now Mike Epsonhart every once in a while, and once in a while Dave Shearer, but then Doc Young and Will Strauss and I do the Wrestling Weekly on the Observer site on Saturdays, and then when I can get back here, and then it's Rich and a cast of thousands.
There you go.
And Les will be here all week.
Yeah, and of course, if you want to get Les to come teach you some stuff, epwt.com.
Thank you,
Mike. Well,
I said thank you.
Yeah.
You're not used to hearing me say that, are you? You're shocked at the submission.
Yeah, kind of
made
me stutter there for a minute. Mike, of course, can be found Sundays at
PostandCourier.com if anybody gets bored.
Best wrestling columns going. Absolutely.
Hey, why do you always have your picture? You're in Danny Hodge up on it. You never put our. Are you ashamed of us or what? What's up with
that? I know. I'm telling you, I'm going to have to change that pretty soon. Actually, Danny threatened to shake my hand again if I took it off.
That ham and egg or Hodge? How the hell does he rate?
I know. What a jabroni! Don't tell him.
I had that picture of you and I and Cornette from Charlotte last year up as my. My signature photo there for a while.
The Three Musketeers.
Yeah. There's a lot of young women writing, sending me letters and asking who you were, but I wouldn't tell them.
No, yeah. We have to keep that, you know, strictly between us, Les. You know how that goes.
All right. And, of course, let's see. What else we got going on? Still nobody's answered the question yet. It's not that hard. Come on. Get the
Mike
trivia question.
The
it'll,
question. Go
it'll,
ahead.
It'll remain up, and somebody will get it. Somebody will get it.
Didn't Stanislaus Ibisco start in Memphis?
Yeah.
Well,
and
you
of course,
know what, Mike? If he would just give you and I those tickets, and then we get a chance that we could bring our wives and come hang out. And
yeah, Atlanta. When are you showing it? In Atlanta during Fan Fest?
Yeah, it is Fan Fest weekend.
Hey,
so
that'll
so
work.
Keep that in mind. Anybody that you might not live in Atlanta, but if you're coming to Atlanta for that weekend, that's you know, it's an opportunity to pick some up.
Are you coming down?
Just want to let everybody know.
No, I haven't been invited, Michael.
You haven't been invited.
No.
Well, I'm going to seriously push this next year for a certain former Carolina's Virginia star to have a special place in this event, if you know what I mean.
Well, thank you, sir. I appreciate that.
I could not think of a more deserving person.
I'm honored if you would think that, Michael. I certainly am.
Well, it comes from 45 years of experience, so I think I've got a little say. Should.
Wow. You've been around that long? I thought you were just young.
Guys, get a room. Get a room.
Yeah, started writing for Review back in 64.
Wow.
That's over 45 years.
Well, there you go.
That means we're both older than Rich, right?
Yeah, of course, I don't go back to 1960.
Yeah.
Wow,
Tony Santos?
I wish I didn't. I just had my 51st anniversary in this silly business.
Wow. That's hard to
believe. July 4th was my first match, 1960.
Yeah. Were you working for Santos up there?
I was. Ronnie Hill wrote about it in his book. Having my first, but he had it 5 years earlier, and I thought, God rest his soul, no, Ronnie,
yeah.
I'd have been 15 years old. It was or 14 years
still
old.
I still see that green shamrock jacket, Les.
Thank you. That's yeah. I've still got a couple of those jackets in a storage closet I've got out in the garage.
Do you really? Never get rid
yeah.
of them, man.
Yeah.
Who knows when you might need them?
When they become worth $500,000 a piece, I'm going to sell them.
All right, on that note, we're gonna work our way out of here. Just to let everybody know, tomorrow night on Peach State Pandemonium with Mike Norris, Jerry Oates, and Bobby Simmons, they'll have a guy that Les. I don't know. Maybe you're familiar with this guy. Maybe you cross paths. Irish Mickey Doyle will be
Mickey
on with
Doyle.
Them tomorrow night. Yeah.
You know what? I don't know that I've ever met Mickey Doyle.
I believe at one point him and Mike Boyette were.
Okay, yeah. No, I don't think I've ever. Yeah, he was with the hippie, right? But I may have crossed paths with him, but it was just briefly if I did.
I think mostly he worked West Coast, maybe.
Yeah,
for most
no, I never worked the West Coast, but no farther out than Phoenix.
Yeah, that's a good blast from the past interview for them tomorrow night.
Yeah, good.
And, of course, next week, the way things are going, hell, I don't know who will be here next week. But
well, Mike Mooneyham can come back. Hell, why not?
The door is open. We actually have scheduled Jake Roberts for next week. That should go off. That, of course, rescheduled from a couple weeks ago. We're also working on a bunch of other folks, and looks like August is going to be pretty full of stars, so keep coming back here to Ringside Wrap every Wednesday night. Hit GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com for all your news and notes in the wrestling world and MMA. And for those who did tune in tonight for Gabe Sapolsky and Joe Laurinaitis, we will be rescheduling them. And once again, did speak to Joe, and he passed along his apologies to the audience and said he will make good on his appearance. And I want to let everybody know that the Evolve Wrestling Internet pay-per-view next week, you can order that at GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com. And, of course, let's see. Don't forget the trivia question still up and going. So if you got an answer, get in there. This is really not a difficult one at all. Nowhere near as hard as Jerry Jarrett's dog's name. Les, did you know about that? Jerry Jarrett, a couple of weeks ago, we've been doing the trivia question for a couple of weeks now. This is the third week. The first week, it took almost 72 hours for somebody to answer this question. But the first week's question was, what wrestler did Jerry Jarrett name a dog after?
Probably Tojo.
Sonny King.
Really?
Yeah, and he told a great story because Jarrett was on with us last week, and he told a great story about why that was, and it had something to do with, of course, the dog being black and this, that, and the other. So it's a really funny story, and Sonny actually got a kick out of it as well, but... yeah, there's a guy I'd love to have on the show. Huh?
It's good that Sonny got a kick out of it.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's best that he did.
yeah. It's good for Jerry that he did. Sonny King is a guy I'd love to get on.
Sonny does have a sense of humor. I used to travel with Sonny quite a bit when we were in the Carolinas. There's a social group was Tiger and his wife and Sonny and his lady and Scott Casey and myself and Garvin and gosh, I'm trying to think who all was tied into that. Steve Kern, Lord, I forget who all, but we used to all get hang out together. And
I always thought Sonny. I kind of missed him as a wrestler and really kind of saw him as a manager, and I just thought he was underrated as crap.
Huge draw down
here. Sonny was a good guy. I got along good with Sonny. I like
great program with Super Destroyer, Don Jardine.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know Sonny had a son who played football for University of South Carolina?
No. Is that true? Yeah. No, I had no idea.
Yeah.
No idea. Wow.
Well, somebody's got to round him up and get him on the show.
Yeah, he'd be
great.
I
saw him in Charlotte last year, but didn't get a chance to talk but about 5 minutes. And if you know how to get a hold of Tiger, I know Tiger knows how to get a hold of him.
Mm-hmm.
Conway's, you can get a hold of TC Jr. He knows how to get a hold of Sonny, I know.
Well, there we go. All right, well, that's going to do it here for us this week, and, of course, we should be back next Wednesday, and Mike, the door's open for you if you want to join us again next week, and, of course, we want to thank our listeners for tuning in as well, and good to have Les back. Good to hear that voice. Good to hear you giving some critiques on some stuff that, for once and for all, it actually has been some entertaining product on Monday night.
It's a positive, yes, so let's hope it keeps up.
Absolutely. Let's hope they keep it going. All right. We'll see you next time here on Ringside Wrap. Thanks a lot.
Good night, guys.
We thank you for listening to this broadcast, a production brought to you by GeorgiaWrestlingHistory.com and the GWH Radio Network. Stay tuned to GWH for nostalgia, upcoming events, the latest news on pro wrestling and MMA, and more. GWH thanks you for your support.